I invite you to give your attention to the reading in the New Testament from 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 3 through 16. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, she has brought up children, she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows. When they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they cast off their first faith. Besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. From the very beginning, we know that God has placed mankind in families. By this, we understand that the family is one of the most basic and fundamental institutions and units of society. In the previous sermon, I pointed out how the Bible also applies the concept of family to the spiritual family, to those who are children of God, describing our relationship to Him as our Father, and then our relationship with each other as well. So this matter of family can be applied to family by blood or family by faith. And both of these come up in this passage today. Paul moves to a very practical matter. The church cares for those who are called widows. Now, I wonder if the children know what that is, and that a widow is someone who has lost their husband, usually by death, but the Bible can also describe and use that word widow to describe others who have lost their husbands. I'll come to that in a moment. It's a very practical matter, and it's more than practical because it is a demonstration of our faith and love for Jesus Christ. The way in which we show care to those in need is a heart issue, not just a societal issue or an issue that has to do with mercy needs. It is a heart issue that demonstrates our faith in Jesus Christ. There are just a few general notes that I want to just lay out very quickly for you that will help you to understand this passage. So first, it appears that the church in Ephesus had many widows that they were caring for. It's thought that maybe this came up in a letter that Timothy wrote to Paul. It was asking, what am I supposed to do in this situation? And so from that vantage point, we can read Paul's answer to Timothy and gain a lot of information and encouragement for ourselves. Second, as I said, the word widow could refer to more than just a woman who has lost their husband to death. The New Testament and others in that time period could use that word as well to a woman whose husband had deserted her. And you might think of the fact that in a church where there are a lot of new converts, that that was happening sometimes, that an unbelieving husband might leave a believing wife, and she would be alone and widowed, so to speak. A third, the need of the widow can stand for others who are vulnerable too. Paul is addressing a very specific need, but as I've been pointing out in the Psalms and the Psalm meditation, God cares for widows, orphans, strangers, those sojourning in their country. And so we can glean principles as well about caring for others in our situation. We can look and apply it in our own context, looking for those that might be orphans or international students far away from home or elderly men, not just women. Those are all kind of embraced in this idea. Fourth, God directs his words to care for those in need in the church. And this is going to be important because Paul is addressing likely a question from Timothy and how the church ought to understand this. It doesn't mean that there isn't care for those that are outside of the church. We see Jesus healing indiscriminately those in a community. But there is a very important application here, and it will come out in the words that Paul gives to Timothy. And finally, I'll just say that caring for widows proclaims the love of God. It is a hard issue, and I think that you'll see it as such. So let's begin by looking at this first thing that comes through in Paul's instructions. The first thing that comes through is that the church should help those in need. Church should help those in need. And Paul states it in this very specific answer when he says, honor widows. It is a very simple statement, but it indicates a type of care that is given to those who have a wide variety of needs. Their physical needs. Just think in our own day of the physical needs of a widow, that there might be there might be needs for food turns. Those are physical needs that are just kind of jump off the page of the life of a widow. But these are the concerns that she might have. But those physical needs that are plain to see should not be the only needs that you would identify. Think of the emotional needs of those who are elderly. Loneliness. A sense of degradation, a sense of worthlessness, just that fact that they are so isolated, there is a deep need for connecting and just being a friend. And then think of the spiritual needs, needs that come along with all of these that have a spiritual basis to them, anxiety, despair, fear, apathy. These are needs that you can see in a family of blood, and they are needs that you can see in the family of faith as well. Paul calls us to honor widows. And unfortunately, this needs to be said. All too often in our own society, you can see how there is a move to push the elderly out of our attention, to shove them into the corners so that they are not a bother to us anymore. In fact, there are many elderly that have been so well trained that that's kind of their stance towards life. I don't want to be a burden to anyone. They've taken in this idea that to be elderly is to be a burden, and that's a bad thing. And all too often, the church can fall prey to this same temptation. Sad to say, we can be like the Pharisee and the Levite in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember that one? There was a man who was on the road to Jericho and was hijacked by robbers, beaten almost to his death, and left to die. And three men came down the road, one after a time, after the other. A Levite, a Pharisee, and a Samaritan. And only one of them stopped to help. It was the Samaritan from a country that the Jews detested. A man that he would not turn aside to help, let alone speak to. The Pharisee and the Levite passed by on the other side of the road. So think about what Paul is saying here. Honor widows. Honor the destitute elderly. Give care to those who are poor and needy in their situation, in their old age. More and more you'll find that our society does just the opposite. But Paul calls the church to honor widows. Unless you think that Paul is making up something new, I remind you that this comes up all through the Bible. God does reveal himself as the protector of the widow, the orphan, the sojourner among you. He even describes himself in the Psalms as rising up to do that, especially when those who should are not. God rises up to protect those who are oppressed. The Old Testament law makes provision for their care. We've been singing psalms that describe God as the father of the fatherless and the defender of widows. I cited Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, just one prime example of God showing care to those in need. And James says it this way, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Pure and undefiled religion. That's why Paul says, honor widows. Honor those who are really widows, which leads us into the next verses, which are going to lay out broad categories on how we can accomplish going about this special ministry of mercy, of caring for widows. I'm going to gather them into three categories. You can see that on your bulletin, three categories that will help our congregation know how we might care for those in need, thinking especially of widows or those destitute and needy elderly. I'll begin by applying the love of Christ in the works of mercy to those in need in this way. First of all, those who can take care of themselves should. Those who can take care of themselves should. Now, this comes from verses 9 and then 11 through 15. Listen to these words again. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number. And then, starting at verse 11, but refuse the younger widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they cast off their first faith. Besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. In this passage, Paul calls for discernment among the widows that are cared for by the church. And the distinction here that he makes that I'll call your attention to is a distinction between those who are older and those who are younger. Younger may have more opportunity and more ability to work and to provide for themselves. In Paul's day, So it's not as likely as it is today. In Paul's day, a widowed woman was in a very vulnerable situation. She was not in a position where she could work and provide for a household as easily as a man could do so. And so Paul gives this as a very practical way that she could care for herself. And that was to be married again. This rests on the broader biblical teaching about marriage and family. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where God created Adam and Eve, male and female. He gave them responsibilities to be fruitful and to fill the earth. God said it wasn't good that man was alone, so created Eve. And he gave them to each other to be husband and wife, to be family. So one answer to a young widow was to marry again. Now, this might be hard, especially if you are on this side of widowhood, or this side of being a widower. You can't imagine being married to anyone else. But it is lawful, and it is even good to be married again, to find love and companionship once more, to provide for each other in time of need. Not only that, but Paul also describes that this can help exercise Christian character and ward away common temptations. Temptations like becoming idle, becoming a gossip, a busybody. One way to turn away from those temptations was to be busy about the God-honoring spiritual disciplines of the home. In this case, he speaks especially of the wife and mother, raising children, managing the house, caring for the household that way. In this way, Paul says, you give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some, says Paul, have already turned aside after Satan. That's quite a warning about the management of a household, that it is a spiritual act. It has implications about your faith. It could refer to sins that might bring shame upon the church in Christ. It could also refer to women falling under the influence, what Paul warned about back in chapter 4. There were false teachers who were forbidding marriage, may have fallen under their influence and gone on to worse things. Both of these reveal something about the reality of the Christian life. There is an enemy. Satan attacks the church and attacks the family. That's a reality you need to recognize. And in recognizing this, there's something very positive to say as well. And it's positive to say about the high calling of motherhood. Commentator Ryken says this: the reference to Satan is a reminder that mothers at home with their children are engaged in spiritual warfare. Did you hear that? Engaged in spiritual warfare. He goes on, of course their work is difficult, and of course it is filled with temptations and frustrations, but this is spiritual warfare. When a Christian mother teaches her child a spiritual lesson, she does so in defiance of Satan. Even daily chores, if they are done in devotion to Christ, are small victories over the devil and his work. The Christian home is never just a home. It is also a military outpost. Isn't that appropriate? And that's why Paul would say, to those who can, remarry. Those who are able to take care of themselves in this way, do so. It is lawful. It is good. And there is spiritual good to be had from that, the raising of your children. Secondly, those who can take care of their parents should do so. In some cases, a widow might have children or even grandchildren, Paul mentions here. And mercy starts there. One way that you can honor God is by honoring your parents. Does that sound familiar? That's one of the Ten Commandments. It's the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Part of honoring your parents, or what Paul describes here as learning piety at home, one way that you do that is to care for them in their old age. Care for them in their time of need. Paul doesn't say exactly how to do that, and there's some freedom in applying this. You can accomplish caring for your parents in a lot of different ways. Some like to and are able to bring their parents into their homes. Others have parents that live quite well in their own home, but they need other helps in their elderly years. You might help them get to the health care that they need. Or you might find professional help in a nursing home. These are all possibilities of ways that you might help care for your parents in their old age. And those have in mind especially some of the physical needs, but I would suggest that the emotional and spiritual needs are even more important and can be carried on in lots of different ways. It can be carried on from afar even, as you connect with your parents. It shows them dignity. It shows them love. And honestly, it shows them Christ. As Paul says, this bears witness of your faith. Verse 4, for this is good and acceptable before God. God who protects the widow is pleased when his people do the same. And if you do not, listen to what verse 8 says. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I want you to notice that Paul is once more taking the teachings of Jesus and applying them. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable of the return that will come at the end of the age. At the end of the age, the Son of Man will return, and he will judge living and the dead, and he will separate on either side the sheep and the goats. And he says to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Jesus doesn't mention widows here, but it is certainly in keeping with the care of the elderly and the vulnerable and the destitute of what Jesus is describing here. And he's describing faith in action. For when the righteous say to Jesus, Lord, we have not seen you hungry and feed you thirsty and so on, do you remember Jesus' response? Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, did it to me. That's the sheep. There are also the goats on the other side. whom Jesus condemns because they did not give him food or water or visit or help. And they ask the same question. We never saw that. What are you talking about? And as much as you did not do it to the least of these, you have not done it to me. Paul describes it here as being a denial of faith and worse than an unbeliever. For those that you aid in church, and as you care for those in need, you are testifying your love for Christ. It is a testimony that the world sees. The last grouping are those who can't care for themselves. They should receive care from the church. Paul describes them as being really widows, or some translations say widows indeed. So some widows don't have any children and don't have any grandchildren. They don't have any family that might be there to take care of them. As verse 5 says, they are left alone. But as a believer, it says they trust in God and continue in supplications and prayers night and day. And I love what Paul does here, because he not only identifies those who are really in need, but he also describes how vital that they are, because the trust and the faith that they have is directed to God. And he lays his finger on a contribution that widows may make to the life of the church family. Now, a widow may not be able to contribute in physical ways like she might have done in earlier years. She might not be able to provide a meal train. She might not be able to open her home to provide hospitality. She might not be able to drive anymore to go and take that to anyone. But that doesn't mean she has nothing to offer. Quite the contrary. Instead, she has something that is immensely valuable. She has time. She has time that she can devote in other ways. And Paul says she can devote that to intercessory prayer, a vital need for the church. So one way to care for those who are really widows is to encourage them to use their gift of time, to show them how important they are to the life of the congregation. And I've even had widows say, I don't have anything to offer. And I hope that they would hear me say, oh, but you do. Please pray for us. That is a vital, vital gift to the church. And this stands in contrast to those who live in pleasure. That's verse 6. Those who grow wanton against Christ and desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. Or back in verse 7, while living they are dead. Now these are not very clear passages. And some have used this to describe a woman who enters into a perpetual widowhood or a perpetual singleness. It's like a vow of celibacy that the Roman Catholic Church requires. And I would warn you away from that. The Bible never requires that or calls for that. Most likely, Paul is referring to the temptation that a single person really feels. Someone who has never been married might long to be married, or someone who is widowed might long again for the companionship of marriage. And that is a very real concern. The concern of isolation and loneliness is a huge burden. And some might be overcome by that desire, and the strength of that desire might lead them to sacrifice the requirement or the command of God that if you marry, you would marry in the Lord. In other words, marry a believer. And instead of that, they want marriage so much that they turn away from that to marry an unbeliever. And this does go against the command. And it goes against that call of Jesus Christ that marriage should be within the Lord and express that first love. And that will help you then to understand the list that comes in verses 9 and 10. From the context, this list or this number appears to be those that the church cares for. And there's distinguishment, there's discernment that is going on even now. There was discernment between those who are young and old, and now there's discernment of those who are older, discernment of those who are believers and those who are not. And Paul gives certain attributes that is an outworking of faith in a person's life. Outworkings like a biblical marriage, and that's the one husband, or we might say one husband at a time, a reputation of good works, of bringing up their children, of caring for others, and so on. It describes a woman who professes faith in Christ and then is living that out, as opposed to those who are outside of the church, who by their actions betray unbelief. That's where the idea of being dead while they live comes. So you see the focus of the church is a care for those who are in the fellowship of the church, a care for the believing widow. It doesn't forbid caring for others in the community. As I said, Jesus had great love and compassion regardless of faith, but it does answer a narrow question. How should the church care for widows in our midst? How should the church care for them? And help starts close. It help starts with our own congregation and with those believers within our midst. Matthew Henry puts it this way: the church should relieve widows of the church, widows that are pious and devout, not wanton widows. In doing so, in acting in this way, we do indeed care for those who are in need, and we proclaim the love of God in Jesus Christ. For this is pure and undefiled religion, to care for widows and orphans. They can't pay you back. They can't give you a pat on your back when you pat their back. There's nothing in it for you. But isn't that the point? Isn't that the point of mercy? God gives mercy and grace to you, and he shows his compassion in particular to the poor and needy, to those who are vulnerable, and he does so through you. May we as a congregation learn to do this more and more, because we have a great privilege to demonstrate God's love to sinners by caring for those in need. That's my prayer, that as we care for widows, as we care for those in need of all sorts, that we would understand that the love of Christ is being declared by those acts of mercy. Please bow with me in prayer. O Lord, we may rightly say, when did we see you hungry and gave you food, and thirsty and gave you drink, and a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you, or sick and visited you, a prison and came to you? Lord, may it not be that we would not see, that we would be blind to those needs in our own congregation and in the world around us. Father, thank you for the family that you have set us in. And may we begin here in the household of faith to take care of those that you have given to us. Lord, to ignore them is a grave sin, and we ask your forgiveness for that. We pray that you would equip us more and more to take care of those in need in our midst. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Close by singing from Psalm 146, 146, Selection A. And once more, the God who cares for the poor and the needy is praised. And we join together because we are ones who have received that. Let's stand and sing Psalm 146A.